pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. John Reed, Cody McClure, Cam Black, the gang's all here. As we get set to talk sports and other things for the next 3 hours, how are we today? Thumbs up from Cameron. Cody, how are you, my friend?
Doing good, John. It's good to be here. It's good to be anywhere. Everything is good, with the exception of a little burrito incident last night. Everything else is good.
A burrito incident?
Yeah, just a...
How does one have a burrito incident?
Well, it was just with the way it was made.
Oh, okay.
I had some trouble with the way my burrito was made.
Okay.
I had a guy that I almost felt like he did it on purpose.
Mm.
It was an exorbitant amount of sour cream that he put on the burrito.
Okay.
You know how you go through one of these fresh places, these fresh cantina. But I believe Qdoba is a sponsor here, or was at one point.
Yep.
But, you know, you got all the other ones, Moe's and all those, Chipotle, Salsarita's. So I went down to the Strip. I was going to go to Moe's, and apparently Moe's is closed. I had no idea Moe's was closed.
Really?
But that's my go-to when I'm in the area. I like going to Moe's. I was going to go down there, and their doors are shut. So I went up to Chipotle, and I went in there, and this kid that made my burrito, like, I got the steak, the beans, the rice, everything's normal, right? Got a little queso on there, a little hot sauce, and I was like, give me just a little sour cream. I felt like he did it on purpose. He had like a ladle.
He's probably just upset. There's probably some sabotage going on as workers are kind of upset that they are still having to go and make people food and that people are still going to eat food from them.
Well, I would understand that if the rest of the experience was bad, but he did everything else right. But then he was just like, it was like he changed his mind in the middle of making the burrito. And he's like, you know what? You're going to get an entire ladle of sour cream. I couldn't eat it. Like, it was, I mean, I ate it, but I made such a mess. I used like 100 napkins. You know, normally they have the little bottle and they'll squirt the sour cream, just a little sour cream.
A bottle of sour cream?
Yeah, they'll have the sour cream in the bottle. That's how they do it at Moe's.
I've never seen a bottle of sour cream. I don't eat a lot of burritos, so I don't know. But when I think of sour cream, I think of somebody just getting a spoon and like throwing some on there. So I don't know.
At Moe's, they have it somehow or another in a bottle.
Why would you want sour cream on a burrito anyways?
Just a little sour cream. I like a little sour cream on my burrito.
I feel like if you order sour cream in a burrito, you can't really be upset if it's messy because sour cream is messy in general.
But when I say a little sour cream, I explicitly said I'd like a little sour cream. And I got to thinking, like, was this guy upset? Did he see me trying to go to Moe's first? Like, was this intentional and he was just fighting for the company? Because it was so obvious.
Sloppy seconds, huh? I'll show you sloppy.
Yeah.
I'll show you sloppy. Enjoy all the sour cream, big boy.
I saw you trying to go into Moe's down there.
Yeah, well.
I ate the burrito, but it wasn't a great experience. Not the best burrito.
I ate tacos last night, so we were kind of one of the same.
Yeah. Tacos, what kind of
soft
tacos?
Soft shell tacos.
Just regular beef or shrimp or what?
No, beef. Beef, yeah. Some cheese, some guac, some tomatoes.
Can't go wrong
That's all I need. And the guac, sometimes I don't even need the guac. Sometimes the meat, cheese, and tomatoes are good enough for me.
Yeah.
I'm a simple man.
If you need some guac, if you want to make some guac, I got a ton of avocados right now. There was, you know, the Mediterranean place, the Zoe's, or Zoe,
yeah,
Brandon calls it Zoe's,
I'm
pretty sure it's Zoe's.
I know which one you're talking about.
You know, up on Bearden Hill, they had a bunch of leftover produce yesterday, or the day before yesterday, and I collected all kinds of stuff. They had, like, avocados. They had, like, these big bags of romaine lettuce. Of course, the avocados are probably going bad by now, but I got a whole box of avocados. Avocado.
I don't really hear a difference between the two phrases you're saying.
Yeah, well, they had a bunch there.
Okay.
So.
Thanks for leaving us hanging yesterday. The sick April Fool's joke you played on me 2 years in a row.
I got to thinking. I realized yesterday I missed the last April Fool's show.
Turns out your April Fool's joke is just on me every year.
Every year
it's just on me. You don't come do the show.
No, I had an issue with a tire.
Yeah.
Significant issue with a tire.
Sure.
It had to be taken care of.
Yeah.
If I had waited till the end of the show, plus I was in such a bad mood, I was so stressed out, I would have been useless here, I would have been a jerk. Because it was 2 days in a row this tire was flat, and it was giving me hell.
You looked pretty happy when you and Rick were doing
Twitter
videos together at
12:30. I knew you were going to say something about that, and let me explain.
At 12:30, it seemed like you guys were pretty happy.
Let me explain.
You seemed very upset there.
Let me explain. You can tell I was ready to come do the show, by the way, because I was wearing my red shirt with my Dodgers hat.
Sure.
I'll tell you what happened.
Is that like your uniform or something? I can tell you're getting ready to do the show. Like, you don't go out in public in that? Like, it's just strictly your work uniform?
That's my work uniform.
Okay.
No, I was sitting in the living room waiting on, people are going to call me less of a man for this, but I was waiting on roadside assistance, and I was sitting in my living room because my car was out in the apartment, and I was also waiting on Uber Eats. So I was waiting on people to show up, and that's when Rick played his little trick. So I was waiting on the guy to come. So the guy came and changed my flat for me. And you can call me less of a man if you want audience.
Wait, who came and changed your tire for you?
A guy from Progressive.
Oh, okay.
Roadside assistance.
For a second, I thought you said Rick changed your tire.
No, God, no. No, a guy came and changed it from Progressive Roadside Assistance. And look, could I have done it myself? Yes. I can change a tire, okay? I'd like to make that clear to the audience. But I pay for the roadside assistance. It comes with the insurance protection. Why not use it?
I don't think anybody has a problem with that.
Well, good. If they do, then they can take it up with me right here.
You pay for your roadside assistance?
Yes, I do. It's like an extra $10 every 6 months. I mean, it's not even.
What all does roadside assistance entail?
It's mainly flat tire. Well,
flat tire, ran out of gas. What if your car breaks down? Will it come pick up if your car just breaks down, like your engine gives you problems or something?
Well, let me just look on my Progressive app here, and I can tell you real quick because it gives you like six options when you try to file a claim. Or not file a claim. Well, file a roadside claim. But it's mainly like for flat tires and I don't know. But you barely even notice it. It's like $10 every 6 months, which to me is a steal.
Sure. I was just wondering, like, you know.
Let me show you. All right, roadside assistance. Helping you, COVID-19. Okay. So they help you with auto towing, battery jump start, flat tire change, fuel delivery, and a locksmith service. Pretty convenient. For $10 every 6 months on your car insurance.
Give me that rundown again one more time.
Towing?
Yeah.
So like
it's definitely worth it just for the towing.
Exactly.
In my opinion.
Exactly. Flat tire change.
Did I ever tell you about my friend? I had a friend who would just purposely run out of gas in. He wasn't really a friend. He was just someone I kind of got stuck hanging out with because he was always around. I think I've told you that about this guy before. Like in college, like my freshman year when I was at Cleveland State.
Mm-hmm.
I just had like one friend that was always around, so I kind of ended up hanging out with him some. But he would purposely run out of gas because his parents paid for AAA, and they'd bring him like 2 gallons of gas or like they'd bring him 2 or 3 gallons of gas. So he would just run out and be like, "There's $12. I saved $12." And I had never – a few times I had been as mad in my life as one time he ran out of gas in like 90-degree heat getting on the interstate. In Cleveland, getting on the interstate, not getting off, not a red light going to the gas station. He was bypassing the gas station and getting on the interstate, and we ran out of gas. And we had to wait on the driver, the roadside person, to bring us gas for like 2 hours as we sat there sweating in 90-degree weather. And I was like, dude, I will put $10 of gas in your car if this is what you're trying to do. Like, stop.
I started to say it seems kind of smart, but then when you think about the situations you put yourself in, and it's only $12 worth of gas.
Right. If you immediately got the gas, like you run out, you hit a button, and you have gas in your car, it might be worth it. But we had to wait 2 hours. I was so mad.
I think you should be mad. I mean, that's a ridiculous thing to do. I mean, $12 worth of gas.
$12
is that worth the time commitment of sitting on the side of the road in the 90-degree heat for 2 hours?
It wasn't for me.
I don't think it should be to anybody. It's $12.
Wasn't for me. I'm mad thinking about it all again.
Sounded smart when you first said it, but now it doesn't seem to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, Progressive, shout out to their roadside assistance.
Well, I'm glad you got your tire fixed.
Yeah. I heard you asking Brandon and Rick yesterday if I actually had trouble.
Yeah.
As you assumed I was lying.
I mean, I just saw you, like I said, 12:35, and you were just giggling it up with Rick. You didn't look like somebody with a flat tire.
I got receipts.
Yeah, if you want,
if you'd like to see my doctor's note, I'll show you
my doctor's note.
My brand new tire.
Mm-mm.
We'll go out and look at the rubber on it if you want. I'll show you that it's brand new.
Like I said, I was just curious because you were yucking it up.
I was not yucking it up. I was waiting on the roadside assistance.
Did you laugh when you saw Rick's smoking toilet?
I chuckled. I gave him a bit of a chuckle.
Was it a real chuckle? I saw the chuckle. Was it real?
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was. I'd never seen it. I guess he took it from the internet somewhere.
It's been going around for a little while, so.
I hadn't seen it, so, you know, it being the first time I saw it, I got a little chuckle out of it.
Okay. We're off and running on Talk Sports. Story of the day comes from assassin Breck McMurphy. As he's outlined, he said he talked to 112 ADs. He's outlined some contingency plans for college football, some interesting things here. We'll dive into those next as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Smith Family Dentistry is...
If you're a Titans fan, Derrick Henry officially signed his franchise tender with the Tennessee Titans. That means they can still negotiate, though, right? They can still work on a long-term deal. Yesterday, both John Robinson and Mike Vrabel. Let me take that back because I don't know if Mike Vrabel did. But John Robinson said he wants Derrick Henry to be a part of the Titans for a long time. So, like, they said they're working on a long-term resolution. So I hope that gets done. But at least we know he signed it. The holdout won't be too bad, I guess. It won't be one of those situations with Le'Veon Bell where he just like didn't sign and didn't show up. So Henry at least signed it. So $10.2 million for him guaranteed this upcoming season. But again, I hope they come to a 3 or 4 year agreement to keep him with the Titans. Have you seen some of the options that Brett McMurphy laid out regarding college football?
I scrolled by it. I saw something, but I don't remember what I saw.
There's a couple of options. They said, obviously, the best-case scenario is you play football in a normal capacity. You get some practice done in August, and you play football. Another option was a season that starts in October or November. I believe we kind of outlined this. Was it Monday or Tuesday when we were talking about this? I said, hey, you know, it might be something that gets pushed back to the spring. Well, they're saying, yeah, maybe you practice late August in September, and then you could go and start in October or November and then kind of end in January and February. Another option was a 9-game regular season where you just get rid of all the fluff.
I'd be totally fine with that. 9 games that matter. Those other three are always throwaways.
I guess the SEC, we only play 8 conference games still, though, right? I mean, we're still only playing 8 conference games.
Right.
So I don't know. I guess Tennessee could maybe still have one non-conference opponent. I would imagine in that scenario, Oklahoma would be off the table.
Let's go with Furman.
You go with Furman as a tune-up game?
Yeah.
And then you just go through the SEC schedule?
Yeah. No need to play Oklahoma if you don't have to. I would actually be down with that. I mean, cut out the – because I always hate those weeks in the middle of the season where you play Charlotte or UTEP or Chattanooga or somebody like that, you know. It just feels like, yeah, we got a game this week, but not really. I don't know.
And the last contingency plan would be just play it all in the spring, start in January, and try to get done by the end of March, early April.
I mean, you'll have some pretty cold games. You do that, but
But they said if you do go with that route, you get most likely playing in front of crowds, which would allow universities to still recoup the millions of dollars in revenue generated by tickets. If it's our only option, we would absolutely have to do it in the spring, a Group 5 AD said. It would be incredibly difficult for us to survive financially without football revenue. That's how critical it is for each university. We have to be creative in our thinking on this.
Well, there's been some hope, I think, from, you know, you got people talking about the second wave that could come after the first wave of the corona. And there's been some hope, I think, from what Dr. Fauci has said, that, you know, that we'll be more prepared for the second wave, and that life will, I don't want to say life is going to be getting back to normal after the social distancing, guidelines are lifted, but I think we're going to be able to gather in crowds again. Now, 100,000 people seems like a lot, but I think there's some hope there.
It's going to be a interesting game of chicken, or a game of, like, when do you lock in? When do you make your decision? They said that they have to have their minds made up. They feel like a decision has to be sort of imminent. They say we need to figure something out because we kind of keep getting pushed back on when we're going to be able to get life back to normal.
I'm tired of washing my hands, I can tell you that much.
Well, just stop doing it.
Well, my skin's breaking. I've washed too much, and now it's all itchy, and I got these red spots from it's dried out.
Pac-12 Commissioner Larry Scott said the end of May is basically the deadline for determining the direction of college football's preseason and regular season. Says, you know, we have to have an answer within basically 60 days. Logistically, we have to figure out, are we doing this in the fall, or are we doing this in October? Are we doing this in the spring? Are we doing this at all? It seems catastrophic to not have a college football season. Like, it, you know, these athletic directors aren't lying. That so much money is made from football, like not getting that check from the gate, from the TV money for these big schools, would have huge ramifications on not only athletics at colleges, you know, because every other sport is pretty much funded by football. Not only that, but you would have ramifications across universities, especially throughout the South.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure you guys saw that thing from the, was it the Advocate down at, you know, the LSU paper, the Baton Rouge paper, that basically laid out their operations for how much money football makes versus what everything else does?
Basketball was basically, it made like $1.7 million, I think, right?
And baseball was slightly in the positive, too. Let me see if I can find it.
Yeah, baseball, which LSU's had a really good baseball team for a long time.
Yeah.
Baseball made a little money, basketball made some money, and then football made like $55 million, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it was something. Yeah, here it is. I got it now. Baseball made $569,000, so barely over positive.
Right, but it turned a profit.
Yeah, men's basketball, $1.6 million, and then LSU football, $56 million. Everything else, gymnastics, softball, women's basketball, all the other sports, soccer, tennis, volleyball, all operated in the negatives. For some reason, swimming costs the most. It was negative $1.32 million.
A lot of chlorine, bro.
I guess so. So if you factor in, like, actually that's not true. They just didn't have it in order for some reason. I don't know why. Women's basketball, negative $3.9 million.
Wow.
And then gymnastics, softball, both negative $2 million. So you factor all this up. I mean, you know, LSU, if it weren't for football, these other sports, and I imagine it's like this at pretty much every other school, these other sports couldn't exist. Football makes the money.
I was going to say it might even be worse at other schools.
Yeah, might be.
Like, I'm not sure that Tennessee baseball turns a profit.
I doubt that it does, but women's basketball, might probably here.
It's not losing $4 million, especially. Right. It's making up that difference for sure. You're right.
When you factor all the money, though, I mean, all these different sports, I mean, you're looking at, you know, probably at least $12 million, $15 million maybe they're losing in the other sports.
And then you're taking, you know, the athletic money goes into the surplus. I imagine it goes into funding the other parts of school too.
Maybe twenty million.
And if you take a place like Tennessee, what do you think the impact would be in Knoxville if the University of Tennessee had a fall semester that was online only, and kids didn't get to go to football games?
I mean, that's the reason a lot of people come here.
Me being from an hour away, I could tell you I would not have gone to school. I would have taken a semester off. Football is a big draw for a lot of students. Like, hey, you get to go to the football games, especially if the team is going to be at least solid.
Well, yeah, and just being on campus. I mean, you mentioned that the other day. Like, are they going to try to charge that normal tuition for online classes? Because that's not going to happen.
I know there was some reimbursements in terms of fees. You know, like you don't get access to the gym or the library or the computer lab, stuff like that. So like you know, they give you some of those fees back.
That's still
but
ridiculous.
That's like hundreds, you know, a couple hundred dollars, yeah. $300 or so. Probably.
Yeah, there's no way. I mean, there's no way if I'm a student paying in-state or out-of-state, and I don't get to be on campus, like that's the majority of college, right? Actually going to class, meeting new people, learning, and
being away from home.
Parties.
Yeah, being away from home, being at a party, meet new people, have new experiences. Yeah, like that would be, like I said, if I was in this situation, I would 100% just not go to school in the fall.
No, you
if
just
it was
take
online only and you don't get to go to football games. Like, if you don't get, like, the student discounts, which, if you're online only, they're going to tell you not to be on campus. Although, in Brett McMurphy's piece, it laid out, you know, basically if this happens, the most likely thing is that colleges may are just letting the campus be a ghost town except for athletes.
I mean, I would want my money back for this semester. I mean, you might as well just take online classes at a community college. They'll give you money to go there. You know, instead of you paying UT, and it's just the same. If it's gen ed, now if you're in your major already, you probably just take a semester off.
Or you just barrel through it if you're a senior and you're like, hey, I want to graduate on time. Like, I got jobs lined up or I got, you know, a money situation. Or, you know, I guess if you have money situations, taking a semester off wouldn't be bad. But either way, like, some people get to the finish line, be like, I'm just going to plow through it. But I would say that you'll see enrollment drop if it's online only.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no football.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. It'll probably drop drastically.
So you combine that with the windfall of money lost from no college football. And a lot of universities in the South and up in Big Ten country, probably in Big 12 country, you would see them just, you know, bleeding money.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
when you realize the legal, you know, when you realize the financial implications, like it makes it really hard to see a 2020/2021 academic year where you aren't playing football in some aspect, even if you have to do it with no fans. The TV money for the SEC is just so great. I get Texas A&M, you're going to lose some money and you need that money, but what's better, $45 million or $0 million? You know what I mean? Like, the SEC network cut is close to $50 million per school, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you'll lose some money from the gate revenue that, you know, it's going to not go in, and the alcohol sales won't be able to fund you and all that stuff. I get that, but you got to get a certain amount of games. That's what the NBA is facing, Cody. They have to get to the 70-game threshold to get this local TV money. Like, for the TV money to kick in for these teams, which is a big part of the salary that players make and a big part of the profits the owners make or the revenue that the owners make, they have to get to at least 70 games.
That's a contract thing.
So they're looking like, yeah, it'd be nice to have fans, and it sucks. Like, you know, the numbers for Golden State, I think they lost like $3.8 million per game they were going to play with no fans. But it's better than not getting that TV check. So I think you'll have people coming together to make the decision of like, hey, we have to play football in some respect. Just too much money at stake.
I hope it's normal by then.
We'll continue talking about some of these alternatives and what the best route would be. Stick with us. This is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Saturdays are for seltzers.
1, 2, 1, 2.
Back on the program. Of the options we've laid out, obviously everyone's preference would be college football just goes on normally. Right?
Certainly. Certainly.
Going back to kind of our conversation from a couple of days ago, now that it's a possibility that people are talking about, spring football with fans or fall football with no fans, what are you taking?
Spring football with fans.
Cam, spring football with fans, fall football, no fans.
I think I'd go spring with fans. Yeah. Yeah, I want the full experience.
Yeah, me too.
If we have that option, I'll take the full experience.
Plus, I mean, think about how that would change things. Would we keep the schedule in the same capacity, I would guess?
Yeah.
I mean, think about playing Florida in the blistering cold in January.
Like, I mean,
normally you got to play them in the heat. They're always good in the heat. Let's play them in the cold, see what happens.
Yeah, Florida would be in a world of hurt.
Yeah.
Something unusual for them.
It'd be a lot different. And then by the time March gets here, maybe things are warming up again. Maybe you're playing those Kentucky and Vandy games some 70-degree days. When does that happen? It's always cold for those games. So you kind of flip the atmosphere around a little bit.
Okay. Okay, so you both agree there?
I just like – I said a couple days ago, like, I just think the fans are such a huge part of it. I mean, I would almost not want to watch if the fans weren't there.
I don't believe that at all.
I mean it.
Not watch?
Almost. I mean, I would watch, but I'd consider not watching.
So what you're saying is you would watch?
Yeah, I would watch.
Yeah, so you saying that you wouldn't watch was just a complete lie?
Well, it was just to show you how serious I am about it. That I would consider thinking about maybe not watching.
You just want me to know you're a little upset about it, but not enough to actually take a stand.
It would just be weird to watch, though, wouldn't it? It would be like a scrimmage. It would be like watching guys just practicing, almost. The atmosphere is everything.
Would you rather watch? Like, if I gave you the option, we play this or that later in the show, but here's a little this or that to jumpstart the day. I'm giving you two options. You can never watch sports again, or you can never talk about sports, read anything about sports, type anything about sports ever again.
Definitely the second one. You mean I can just watch them and not have to talk about them or not have to read about them?
Yeah. You're just going to watch about you yeah. take, watch them?
Yeah, I think that would be preferable, really. I like it.
It's really weird that you do radio as you say those things. Cam, what about you? Because to me, like, personally, I view this as a 55-45 proposition, because for me, a lot of the fun of this is reading and arguing and dissecting and talking about.
But what would you talk about if you can't watch them?
You listen and read the storylines. Like, me personally, I enjoy storylines coming out of the game almost more than I enjoy the actual game.
Now, see, I just enjoy the entertainment of the game.
Okay.
I'd rather just watch the game.
I think I would have to go and watch, but I would really miss being able to, like, read about stuff. Because I like reading about stuff about my teams, about, like, off-season, the, you know, like, draft possibilities. Like, sure. I love mock drafts, all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
So, like, I wouldn't be able to read that, so that would hurt. But I think I would still prefer to be able to watch the games.
I don't know. You're just sacrificing such a big part of the experience.
Yeah.
For me, if I was like, hey, I'm giving up watching them, that's 3 hours a week that I would be giving up. Or, you know, if it's NBA, you're giving up 82 games. But
well, that's what you've been doing the last 3 weeks.
Well, yeah, and we've been talking about them, and it's somewhat been okay. Like, it's been fun.
Yeah, but you know you'd – I mean, you'd still, rather watch sports.
The news coming through and getting to talk about them has still been pretty good. And, you know, in this scenario, there would still be sports happening that you could then dissect the storylines from, like I said. You just couldn't physically watch them.
I just don't think that's – I mean, you got to be able to watch this. That's where the enjoyment comes from. That's where the excitement is watching how the game turns out. That's why we all watch. Like, I realize what we do would be very altered, but we could still talk about, you know, cereals and stuff. I mean, not being able to watch sports, that's what people are struggling with right now with this corona.
Well, again, I think it's just not having sports.
Yeah, but they're very upset. I mean, if they could only read about them or talk about them, like box scores, I mean, what's the fun in that?
I mean, there's a good portion of people who don't watch all the sports and enjoy the conversations around the sports, like NFL and college football, maybe not so much, but not everyone's watching every NFL game.
Right, I know.
Not everyone's watching every basketball game. They like the conversation and the argument surrounding it a lot, too.
Yeah, but if you make it one or the other.
Is anybody out there with me? Because I think I would give up watching.
And just read box scores for the end, box for scores. Till the end of time. Never watch another live sport.
I can listen to the radio, right?
Yeah, but
I can listen to the game?
I guess. You can never go watch one. You can never watch your Titans win in New England again.
That's fine. I would rather still be able to talk and read and dissect and argue and communicate with my friends about it. I think I'd take that. I wonder if anybody else is out there with me or if I'm just alone on this, because both of you are saying no, you want to watch. But for me, like I said, a big part of my identity as a sports fan is arguing with people. I guess it's like what we do is nothing compared to what I used to do with my friends. Like, I would argue with my friends all the time about sports. Like, you don't really get into it too much with me in arguing with sports.
Yeah, because I just watch the sports.
Right.
I just like to see it.
Right. You don't get in. You don't get too down in the trenches with me actually arguing. But, you know, this is something I've done for 15 years. Arguing surrounding the game, surrounding the storyline, surrounding performances.
If I was your friend, I'd just say, how would you know, John? You didn't even watch the game.
It would be tough. It would be tough to win any arguments after that. Like, how the hell do you know?
you didn't
watch the game. I watched the game.
Yeah, but the guy from the Associated Press said this is what happened.
God, listening to Bob Kessling would be tough to get my Tennessee fix from.
I don't think you could. I mean, I know you enjoy it, but I don't think watching the game is, to me, what it's all about. If I couldn't watch the game, I wouldn't even like sports. It's the actual competition of the game that I like. What is sports if you can't watch it?
It's not the community. It's not talking about it with people.
Nah, no. It's the game. It's watching it. I mean, I like being in the bars or whatever, or you know, coming in here and doing this after a big win is always fun. But like, it's about the game.
So then,
if you can't watch the game,
so then. Why are you against football in the fall with no fans? Because the game would still be going on. You would just be missing the community and the talking with people.
Well, when I watch
the fans and stuff, like the actual game would still be going on.
Well, when I watch the game, part of the game to me is seeing the crowd. And like, I love that moment when they first pan in. Like,
sure.
You think about like the Oklahoma game 2015.
Sure. It's awesome.
You know, they're in the studio or whatever, and let's take you now to Knoxville.
You're looking
Tennessee.
Live. Whenever you get
and
in,
then
you're looking live.
You see the crowd, and it's like, oh my God, look at Neyland.
I get like, that, but getting, you said like the competitive one team versus the other is the hook for you, and you still get that with no fans in the crowd. That's why I'm a little.
Yeah, but that's so different to me, though.
Okay.
To me, when I'm thinking about watching it, I'm thinking watching the crowd and hearing the crowd with the game going on.
Like, Billy that agrees is with me.
That's impacting the game.
I always knew Billy was smart.
That's really the guy you want on your side.
I'll take Billy on my side. He can be in my trenches any day.
Have fun with that.
Me and Billy. 100%. He can be my ally.
Was that Billy or Billy's computer that said that?
He typed it. I don't know if he typed it on his phone or his
computer.
Starting
to think that's a bot account.
It says Twitter for iPhone. It was on his phone.
I'm starting to think Billy's just a bot account.
Billy
is Billy real? Has anyone ever met Billy?
Yes.
We actually seen his face.
He bought you a biscuit to try to get you to talk to him since you were mean to him when he first started here.
I was not mean to him.
Yeah,
remember
that.
Yeah,
you were
not mean to him.
You acted like he didn't exist, and now you come on the air and you take more shots at him. After he bought you a biscuit as a peace offering to try to get on your good side, you still come here and take shots at Billy. Billy the Kid.
Just having a little fun. I like Billy.
Okay.
As a guy, I don't like Billy Bot.
You don't like Billy the Bot?
No. I like people for who they are. Real, live humans. I didn't hear Billy say that to you. Wouldn't that be cool if every time somebody said something to you online, they were actually here saying it?
No.
Then they said the exact same thing that they say on Twitter.
That sounds like hell. That sounds like hell.
if that's just like the new age of how technology works. Like,
that'd be awful. You're just in your apartment. Somebody just tweets something at you when they're right there behind you.
I'm like, what's your favorite kind of candy? And all of a sudden people start coming in the door. Reese's, Kit Kats, M&M's.
That sounds like hell.
It'd be kind of neat. I can't believe you say you wouldn't watch the sports.
It makes me feel good that Billy's at least in my corner.
I'm sure some people will be in your corner, but
I mean, the audience listening, like, I would imagine they like hearing about sports.
Yeah,
at least a little bit to be listening to sports radio. Like, I get that. Like, people like doing the thing on the internet.
Right, but like, if we got a show planned, we're going off when the game starts. You know what I mean? Like that tournament that you remember when we were going to play in the SEC tournament, we were going to do a 1 hour show from 12 to 1.
Sure.
Because everybody prefers actually watching it as opposed to hearing us talk about it.
Sure.
Like if you got to pick one or the other.
Sure. But I mean, people listen to 13 hours of content. We have some people that listen wire to wire and devote 13 hours.
Yeah, I can't imagine doing that.
I mean, me neither. Me neither.
That's a big commitment. Big commitment.
But we got people out there that consume 7, 8, 9 hours of fan run radio every day. We love them, but they love the discourse surrounding it.
Yeah, I can't do it. Some people are junkies. I don't know. I can't do that. If I hear too much about one thing, it just drives me insane. There's no way I could wake up at 7 a.m. and listen to 3 and Out and listen all day until the end of overtime. I know some people do, and, you know, shout out to them. I just, because it's just so repetitive. You just hear so much, you know.
It would be nice if we got sports back.
I'd like to watch someone do a sport.
Yeah.
I would.
That's why I'm confused. Like, for me, like, give me the option of give me the fall and no fans.
I see what you're saying. I just, to me, that is a part of watching it, though.
I'm not downplaying the impact and the atmosphere of sports. Like, I enjoy that. I like going to games. I like when the crowds are loud. I like that stuff. But in the scenario of fall sports, you get the best of both worlds if you have football and no fans. At least the best of both worlds in this argument in terms of you get to watch and you get to dissect.
Yeah.
What are you smirking about? Something I said?
Hannah Montana over here. Best of both worlds. You remember the song?
You think she coined the phrase best of both worlds? She was the first person to ever say that?
It just made me think of it. Best of both worlds.
Is that how the song goes?
That's the end of it. Get the best. I can't remember how it goes. Because she was like two people, you know, and it was
Miley and Hannah.
Yeah, yeah.
Those kids are pretty stupid for not realizing it was the same person.
threw on the blonde wig.
I kind of came up with her at the same time.
Yeah.
We're about the same age.
Did you realize it was two different people?
Yeah, I did. Did
they make that known from the first episode?
How old is Miley? I feel like we're about the same age.
I think it was known in the first episode. I think the whole thing was like the people in the show didn't know.
Yeah, Miley.
She'd like reveal it to her friends and like, what?
Me and Miley are 5 months apart.
It's destiny.
Kind of.
It's almost your birthday.
Yeah, it's going to suck.
Yeah, we're not going to be here.
No, we're not. Not going to be here.
Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Drink what you truly want.
Back on the program, I put the poll question up just on my account. Oh, wait, no, I didn't. I put up the poll question of fall football with no fans or spring football with fans. Do you have any guess on how that poll is going so far?
I guess I would guess, just because of how people crave it so much, that fall is winning. Fall with no fans is winning. 58-42.
You think fall is winning?
Yeah.
No, spring is winning.
Okay.
54-46.
Well, I take that back.
Through the first 400 votes.
I take it back.
The majority of people, I think, want to be in attendance or have the atmosphere there. But it is closer to a 50-50 split.
Where is that poll?
Just on my Twitter account. I just put it up on mine.
I'll go look at it on yours.
I just told you what it said. You don't have to go look at it unless you just want to go vote. That's fine, too.
I want to vote.
Okay.
Yeah. It's my civic duty, man.
Okay. Tweeter writes in saying, just looking at box scores and trying to talk about things that you didn't actually see, the storylines are what fills the days in between the games, but it's nowhere close to the actual excitement of the game. And then tags Cody McClure. I mean, last year, at least 2 years ago in basketball, I don't know if you guys noticed, but a lot of that Grant Williams Admiral team, I mean, Cody was just coming in reading the box scores on these games.
What's that now? What are we talking about?
I mean, I was just saying, you know, last 2 years ago when Tennessee was number one in the country, there was a lot of games where you were just coming in reading the box score. You hadn't actually watched them. So
that is absolutely not true. When we were number one in the country, I was watching every game.
I don't know if my memory is telling me the opposite.
I skipped some games this year. When we were number one, I was on the bandwagon.
When we were beating teams by 20 points early in the season.
Well,
early in the SEC season, you were not watching those games.
Okay, fair. When we were blowing teams out. But right. I was there for the big games.
That's fine.
When we were beating...
I didn't say you did that for all games. I said you did it for a good portion of the games.
Well, like that day we beat Georgia 96-50. I was listening on the radio.
Okay, I mean, that's just...
I at least listened or watched every game on YouTube TV.
How much of the game?
Ad-free, by the way.
How much of the game?
It's not ad-free. What?
How much of the game?
The whole game.
No, absolutely not. You're lying about
it. Okay. Well, when I watch a basketball game, I'll typically tune in around 13 minutes to go in the second half if it's not a big game. I'm always there for the end. Unless it's a blowout already.
Sure.
And then I just kind of tune in and then tune out.
I'm just saying, you make it sound preposterous that you just skip a game and deal with the storylines around it like you're just craving the live action.
How did that even come up? What'd you say? I was tagged? Somebody tagged us in something?
No, I mean, he was agreeing with you. He was saying that the storylines are the fill-ins, but the games are actually the excitement, that you can't just get by on sports by reading the box scores. And I was saying, he was taking your side and tagged you, but I was like, okay, chill out, Cody. For a while, it got away with the just look at the box score method.
Well, yeah, but that's because we have to come in and talk about it. I wouldn't be talking about it if I was just on the street or at the water cooler.
Sure.
Because nobody's talking about the Mississippi State game at the water cooler. I mean, most people. A Wednesday night game against Mississippi State, I don't know. I mean, it just – but if it comes down to watching or just talking about a game that I'm really into, then I got to be there for it, you know. Like, I can't imagine just looking at the box score of, like, Tennessee-Florida football. Like, a home game, a Neyland home game against Florida. Although I can usually guess what the box score will look like in that game. About 3-4 interceptions from our quarterback, whoever it happens to be. About 9 sacks for Florida's defense. And about 30-something to teen-something.
Turnovers, The turnovers are always what get us.
Seems to be against Florida. Those Florida defenses, they always get the ball.
Don't forget we're under 100 yards rushing.
Typically.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like that's changed a little bit, although I don't know. I'm just thinking back to like 2015 when I feel like we ran all over them in 2015.
Yeah.
That was like the first time in years that streak had ended.
And I'm pretty sure it happened again in 2017. Like, I'm pretty sure John Kelly went up there and ran all over them when we lost that game too. The outrushing thing, it did happen for a good portion. So like you weren't necessarily wrong. I just do feel like that's changed a little bit. Maybe maybe as like the offenses have gotten a little more pass happy and we have found more creative ways to lose. So
yeah,
we got real creative in 14 and 15
and 17.
Yeah,
John Kelly played one of the best games I've seen a Tennessee running back play, and still he dropped that one little pass in the end zone that would have given us the lead. And then of course you remember the. Felipe Franks bomb. We have created some ways to lose those games.
Then the last 2 years, we've just gotten blown out.
Hour one of the books. We'll kick off hour two with headlines. Daniel says, got to say a 2 to 3 month offseason would be pretty cool as a fan as he votes for the spring. But you do have to think about like what would that do to the players? If I was a sophomore, or I guess a junior, and that was happening, I guess it'd be more of a junior. If I was a junior, there's no way in hell I would stay for my senior year. If we play in the spring, I'm not putting my body through that in another 3 months. I feel like that would really put you at a chance for injury. You'd be at risk, and your draft stock. I wouldn't imagine you would come ball out in 3 months and be perfectly fine, right? I would take my chances just going to the NFL. But I guess maybe on the other hand, you would have NFL scouts looking and saying, we're not drafting a guy who just played football 3 months ago. That seems dangerous. Playing in the spring. Here's the issue, I think, as we wrap up hour one. Playing in the spring and then trying to run it back in the fall would really hurt the whole idea of player safety and we're doing what's best for the player, while as they try to ignore that this is a, you know, billion-dollar business. We're pushing these games across simply because it's a billion-dollar business and we need this money. The NCAA, the SEC, all these schools would really lose the ground, the high ground they stand on in terms of trying to act like this is about what's best for the athletes. That's the problem, I think, Cody and Cam, with pushing it back to the spring, is you would have a really hard time justifying that. Hey, we got to have all this money that comes in. It's all about the money. Hour one in the books, hour two on deck. We'll kick it off with headlines.
Your pet.